where we bring you thought leaders from around the world so you can share their inspirational stories and empowering practical tools on spirituality, mindset, self-love, being master of your own reality, purpose, business and lifestyle, and so much more. Everything from these beautiful people is so heart-centered and so freaking wise and so damn valuable that people usually pay really big bucks for their coaching. And I bring it to you for free so that you can have the most inspired life possible. So listen ahead for our latest guest, and I'll see you on the other side.
Hello and welcome to another episode of An Inspired Life, where we find freedom and meaning by embracing our divine essence. We have Ali Trija on the show today. She's a women's embodiment coach, and she's going to talk with us all about understanding and connecting to and learning from the intuitive wisdom inside of our bodies. Ali, welcome. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
It is totally my honor. Ali and I are a little bit like blissed out right now because it's just actually before every podcast I do, I guide myself and the guests through an embodiment practice. So just coming back home into our bodies and allowing our minds and all of our life to be packed away and put neatly on a shelf to be picked up after our podcast, and for the divine to speak through us so that we're just emptying and allowing rather than pushing or thinking that we're the ones that are creating it. So, yeah, we're a bit blissed out, which is perfect to be able to talk about this this intuitive wisdom that we have within, you know, moving away from the head and more into just like this knowing that comes from our body. So, Ali, I would love for you to share with us, how did you get started? Like, did you wake up just, I said this last time too, I was like, did you come out of the womb and you just knew what you were doing? Because I guess not, right? So what's your story behind it?
Yeah, I definitely did not know what I was doing. And in fact, my journey home to my body was a result of being really confused. So I loved making lists. I still love making lists, but I loved making pro-con lists to make decisions. I loved analyzing data that I collected based on my observations and my reality. And that was the space I lived in, but it never actually made me happy. Like, I could do what was most practical. I could do what was most logical, but I really couldn't find what my soul desires were. And I couldn't find what would make me feel fulfilled. And I remember having multiple like wake up moments or epiphanies throughout my life, but most notably when I was working in marketing in New York City and had done all of the right things, like I use air quotes, like all the right things that I'm supposed to do growing up, you know, getting good grades, going to a good school, getting the, you know, high paying job. And I was really, I was miserable. Like, I was just miserable. And I was like, well, I'm making all this money, but, and I'm doing all these right things, but how come I'm not feeling satisfied? And simultaneously, I was using food and alcohol as a way to feel good. So I would go home and like eat a thing of ice cream and drink a bottle of wine. And that was like very normal for me. And also for my realm, it just, that sort of, It just felt really out of alignment with my soul, but I didn't know how to get in alignment. And it was only through starting to feel again and starting to like really tune into the way my heart felt when I thought of something, or the way that my gut felt when I brought this choice into my mind versus this other choice, and really using that sensation as my guide. It was only when I was really living from that space could I actually be fulfilled in a real way. Because it's like, we can't think our ways to fulfillment. We have to feel it. And so that's how I got into it. I mean, yeah, it was a multitude of little epiphanies along the way. But when I started really sinking into feeling again, probably in my 20s, early 20s, that's when I was like, holy crap, there's this wealth of wisdom and information that lives below the neck. Mm. Yeah.
We're just not taught when we're younger. At least I wasn't. I was so like you as well. And I loved pros and cons lists. And I remember in my first serious relationship, when something went wrong, I would go to all of my friends and my mom, and I would tell them the story. I would seek like advice from different people. So I was still trying to do what I thought was the right thing by, you know, not trusting just one person. And I was going out to all these different people and like trying to understand if I was wrong or he was wrong. It was so funny. And I never thought to really trust that feeling inside. Like, it was not even something that any of those beautiful, wise people in my life ever considered telling me. They would just tell me their perspective and I would believe it. And so, yeah, coming home to the wisdom that we have within is so powerful and really a deep, deep well that allows us to find so much more in life. Like, when we can find that, we find so much more. So what is your life like now that you know how to like listen to your body and hear the wisdom within?
Oh my gosh, it's completely different. It's so different. I really live like in ecstasy, and every day feels really good, even when I'm feeling quote, air quotes bad. So that's and that actually goes to something that you mentioned earlier, just about how like when you felt off in your relationship, you would seek outside for advice. A lot of times when we feel off, we try to get rid of the offness. We try to get rid of the discomfort of the feeling bad. And what I've found is that being with the feeling, whatever it is, and making space for it and listening to it really relieves a lot of the discomfort and provides us with the information that our inner wisdom is trying to give us. So my life now, it on the outside looks, first of all, I'm living in the opposite part of the world. I'm living in Australia. I have the most loving, respectful and exciting relationship that I've ever had. And I, you know, as it's a reflection of my own inner relationship, my work feels good and fulfilling and in alignment with what makes me come alive. I eat and I move in a way that feels wild and free and fun and pleasurable. There's no rules. There's no restriction. It's just what's natural and what feels good, and a trust that's not gonna somehow make me explode or turn me into some like, you know, heathen or I don't know all the ways that all the reasons that we restrict ourselves. There's a trust that none of those are real. But yeah, so, and like I said, yeah, even on like the first day of my moon cycle, when I'm feeling uncomfortable, air quotes uncomfortable, I'm not as likely to go reach for ice cream now or wine because it doesn't feel as bad because there's more space for it. There's more listening and there's more being with. So that's it. You know what, if I could like sum it up, my life now, what's different about it is that I'm not running from what is, I'm not running from the feelings inside. And because of the access that the feelings offer in terms of information, I know what I really want, which is living here with my partner in the country and doing the work I do.
I want to come and visit you in the country. When you speak, it sounds so relaxing and comforting. Yeah. Like, is anyone else getting this while you're listening? It just feels like bliss, like a quiet, content, earthly, grounded, nourished bliss.
Thank you. Sometimes my clients tell me when I get on the phone with them that I sound like I just came back from a spa, and I'm like, that's great.
Yeah, or like a whole day in bed making love. It could be either. I love that. Oh gosh. Okay. So then I'm guessing that anyone else that's been listening to this and feeling this from you, because I've said it before in our podcast, these podcasts are transmissions of this vibration. So this like really earthly, nourished, centered, alive and like quiet wildness that Ali has going on, we're receiving that. So really just I invite you right now to just put your hand on your heart and welcome in this vibration. Like, just tell your body it is safe to feel this way and safe to receive this, and allow yourself to know that this is inside of you as well. That's how you can feel it in Ali. Okay, podcast done, everyone. We all got what we needed. Thank you. Oh, Ali, now for our conscious minds, do you want to share with us that point in your life when you were in New York City and you realized that you're kind of miserable with your life and you'd been running from what was and you didn't know how to feel yourself? Where did it start? How did you start to reconnect with your intuitive body wisdom?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. And before I answer that, thank you so much for that. Mm. Just permission to sink into Mama Gaia yummy softness. Oh, thank you.
My pleasure.
Okay. I'll share a big one. Like I mentioned, there are lots of little ones along the way, but a big one I had was, I wasn't getting my period. I didn't get my period for about a year. As a teenager until I was in my late 20s, I didn't like having a period. I really didn't like the inconvenience, the discomfort, the moods, the whole thing of it. I just didn't like it. So I would take birth control to stop it. Mm. And then when it stopped coming, towards maybe 27, 26 or 27 years old, it just stopped coming. And so I was psyched. I was like, great, no period. Awesome. And then I just assumed that there was no problem, that it was just, I was lucky. And I remember going to the doctor for a checkup. I think I was getting them like every other year or so. I went to the doctor and she, you know, asked me when my last period was, and I told her, and she ran some tests and we found out I had polycystic ovarian syndrome, PCOS, which she explained to me is something that's occurring more and more in women. These days, it's basically cysts on your ovaries that prevent eggs from being released monthly and therefore suspending a period. And it can have really detrimental effects on fertility and can cause some uncomfortable symptoms in the body. So, and apparently, because of it, or maybe it's me or everyone, I don't know, but she was like, oh, and you know, you might have diabetes as well. And I was like, what? Like, I am 26 years old. I can't believe that I'm getting diagnosed with this. It felt so wrong. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, I'm a healthy person. What? You know, I'm drinking green juices after I go out all night and, you know, drink a bunch of alcohol.
I'm balanced.
Exactly. And I got really, really upset and I realized that I needed to make some major changes in approaching my body. Meanwhile, at the same time, I was single and unhappy being single and putting myself in positions with men that weren't healthy or safe or good for me. And I remember, just kind of like having this big wake up moment while I was on the phone getting those test results, where I was just like, I need to change all of this. This all needs to shift. So a cousin of mine is a coach, and she offered to me, she was like, well, why don't, I forgot to major point. I was like six or I can't remember how many $1,000s in debt as well. Like all of this is happening at the same time.
Well, you said you were earning good money as well. So that's
exactly. Good. Exactly. Which is right. Good on me. Which is, you know, it's really illuminated so much to me about abundance and money and how, it's really a mindset. I mean, for those of us who are privileged enough to have the ability to adjust our mindset around finances and abundance, it's really amazing how much that our mindset affects wealth. And so although I was making money, it was just flowing through. In any event, there wasn't a lot of like ownership of my container. Ownership of my body container, my boundary, and what I was taking in and releasing. It was just very, I was living from the neck up. Mm. So my coach cousin offered to me, what if you reserve the next 3 months for like a monk-like living conditions where you don't drink, you eat vegan, you meditate twice a day, and you just, you know, have this sort of monk-like experience for 3 months. And I did it and everything changed. I mean, just being with myself without distraction, the Saturday night sitting home meditating instead of going out partying. And, you know, the moments where like, I just want to escape by buying a pair of shoes, but recognizing like, you know, having the awareness from all the meditation of what's actually happening. And like, it just broadened my scope and helped me really recognize what was going on and how disconnected I was from myself. I have two cousins who are coaches. The other cousin, meanwhile, was really guiding me in coming home to my body. And she offered some really amazing tools and techniques that she had used in her life to help guide her home to her body, which are some of the tools and techniques I use with my clients today. And then also yoga. My yoga practice at that time really began to blossom, and that helped me tremendously. So that was a huge turning point. And that was in like Saturn return, you know, age 27 and a half type of space.
Is that meant to be when you start to come back to yourself, is it?
Yeah. So Saturn's in the same spot that you're born in every 27 and a half years. And so those mark usually major shifts that exactly help you come back to where you, who you really are.
Oh God. Like, I feel like I do that so often with huge shifts in my life, and I was hoping that things would be a little bit calmer, but I turned 27 at the end of the year, so
yay, congratulations.
Yay, thanks.
It might be 26 and a half, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. So maybe you've already gone through it.
Oh,
so
good. I would be going right now. And I am actually living quite a monk-like existence at the moment. Like, I'm not really, but I spend a couple of hours just being with myself each morning and a couple of hours each night. Like, I'll often do yoga or go for a walk and meditate and read. And most of my days are spent like in like quiet connection and contemplation with myself if I'm not working, or dancing at some like conscious dance event or something like that. But pretty much just, yeah, hanging out with me. So that's cool. Very nice.
Your life sounds amazing and awesome. And I have some bad news or good news.
Yeah.
Maybe you're having an early one. I was just looking up on Google Saturn return and it says it happens every 29 and a half years. So
I thought it was at 30 that that often we have like huge life changes. Like,
yeah.
So, okay. So you haven't hit, have you hit yours now?
I have. I'm 33. So okay. I'm coming out of it. Yeah. This is where I've landed.
Beautiful. Okay. And just in case anyone is not watching on the video, Ali looks way younger than 33. So if you listen to your body's intuitive wisdom, natural anti-aging.
Thank you.
Good, good. All right. So can I ask before you, of course I can ask, that's the point of the podcast, which I love. Before you had this monk-like experience, were you doing yoga and seeing it differently, or is that the, okay. Yeah. Can you tell us a bit about that? Because I feel like a lot of people do yoga and maybe don't really live yoga.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, yoga was about weight loss. That's what it was about. I was really kind of obsessed with being thinner. And even in moments when I was thin, quote unquote, air quotes thin, or, you know, what society would deem an attractive body figure, I would still always play these games with myself to see if I could get thinner, or, you know, work out harder or eat less. And yoga was another method of eating less and changing my body and feeling like I had some kind of command over my body, not from a space of sovereignty, but from a space of dominance. And like, I wasn't good enough, so I needed to change myself. So that's what yoga had been for me for a while. And then after this time, it turned into like, how can I love myself more?
Yeah, for me, yoga now is like sacred communion with the divine, but through my body. Yeah.
Yes.
And yeah. I do yin yoga mostly. And so it's also a way of resting into and surrendering into discomfort. And finding, like, I practice finding bliss in the discomfort there so that I can find it in real life as well. Yeah. Okay. So it is really awesome that you did a monk-like experience. And I can feel the podcast audience going, and what if we don't all have the option to do a monk-like experience, right? So can you tell us maybe the top three things or something that really made a difference, or the top three things that you now recommend the most to your clients that can really help bring you home?
It's a great question. So the things that are coming to me off the bat, see, the thing is with my clients, it's so personalized. That's what I love about working with them. And that's what I love about the journey to our bodies, is that we each have such a different need set. But I would say
actually, let's pause there for a sec. I would love to know then, what kind of questions are you asking of them when you're working with them to figure that out? So if people are listening and wanting to, you know, start to explore that themselves and inquire within to know what would work for me, how would they start asking themselves those sorts of questions?
That's a great, question. So I can do one of two things, or I can do both of them. And I want to check in with you what feels best for this recording. But like, one, I could sort of give like an overview of what I would do, or two, I can actually lead us through a little mini experience, where we check in with our bodies and ask what they want.
Awesome. Do that one.
Okay, cool. Okay, great. So if you can, if you're listening and you can, turn off the phone, or, you know, stop doing what you're doing and find a comfortable space where you can lean back and allow your body to be held. And you know, I invite you to have your back leaning and supported on something, because in this way it makes our bodies feel safe, and it gives the message that we almost have like a turtle shell on our back, and we're safe. And what I've found is the body can speak to us so much more clearly when it feels safe to do so, and when we're relaxed. So just allowing yourself to be held wherever you are. And I invite you to just notice your breath without changing it, making it any different than it already is in its perfection, but perhaps bringing a quality of pleasure to your breath. So maybe drinking in your next breath as if it is ice cream or chocolate or kale, whatever you love, just bringing in this most important nutrient, this most important thing that we consume, the first thing we consume, air. Drawing that into your body and releasing it in a way that just feels so divine, like a caress. And allowing your body just to surrender to this pleasure that is always available. And perhaps even connect with the earth beneath you, beneath the floorboards, beneath the concrete, just feeling into the heartbeat of the earth. And just letting yourself feel so held and safe here in this space, and maybe even tuning into that divine web of interconnectivity between you and all things, all life, and knowing that you are home on this planet and in this body. Here you are. And I invite you to bring your attention now into your body and almost imagine that all the cells of your being, all the cells of your body have suddenly sprouted ears. So you become highly perceptive, highly aware, noticing the aliveness of your being. Bringing your attention down and in, taking a gentle scan of your body and just noticing how you're feeling in this moment, as if we're taking a sort of emotional temperature of your body. Are you feeling tired? Are you feeling relaxed? Are you feeling energized, agitated, aroused? Just sort of noticing what's true for you in your body right now. Maybe you're feeling really uncomfortable. Maybe you're feeling bloated. Feeling whatever you're feeling. Just see if with that gentle caress of your breath, you can just sort of be with it. Maybe even make some space for it with your breath. Maybe soften your belly a little more. And I invite you to call on the part of you that can be with everything, the part of you that is compassionate. It might be your inner mother, it might be your higher self, just calling on that aspect of you that can hold and love whatever you experience. And from that place, let's ask your body if there's anything that wants attention, any part of your body that feels like it wants attention. And you might notice something lighting up or tingling or contracting or expanding. Just trusting that whatever you're feeling as you ask your body this question is an invitation for attention. And bring your hand, bring a loving hand to the place on your body where you feel like you need attention the most. And just gently, lovingly touching this place, offering this part of your body some kindness and some attention from this place of compassionate awareness. Just being with this part that wants some attention right now. And maybe even asking, what do you need? The message might come right away, might take a little while. For those of us who may have been mean to this part in the past, it may take a little bit of coaxing and loving and tenderness. You might get an answer with a word. You might have a vision. You might simply see colors. Asking this part of your body, what do you need? And trusting that whatever comes is exactly the answer. And then I invite you, no matter what you just heard or experienced, I invite you to offer some thanks, offer some gratitude to this part of your body for its willingness to be seen, its willingness to be heard if it said anything. Offering it gratitude for all it does for you to keep you alive and well. And maybe letting it know that you can always come back because you live here. You live in this body. You're always with this. So just letting it know that you're not really going anywhere. But maybe you can come back for a little bit of a deeper dig. And taking a moment to simply notice how your body feels now after being with it in this loving way, in this attentive, curious, compassionate way. Notice if there are any subtle shifts or changes. And perhaps inviting in a caressing breath to simply anchor the message that you heard or the sensation that you feel. And gently, slowly coming back into your room, wiggling fingers and toes, being kind and gentle with yourself as you slowly open your eyes.
Mm, that was beautiful. Mm. Mm, what a gift for our listeners. Thank you, Ellie. So
my pleasure. Mm. My pleasure. Yeah, so... yeah, it's really everybody's message is so different because, you know, we all have different parts that need different things. So that's one thing I love to explore with my clients on an individual basis is like, what does your body need? Sometimes it's meditation. Sometimes it's not drinking. Sometimes it's keeping a diary of everything that you're spending, or sometimes it's breaking up with your partner, you know, but yeah, it's such an individual thing.
Mm, so what you're sharing with your clients isn't like necessarily how to get back in their body, like how to move or like what to do to eat healthy. It's more how to actually feel their body so that they can then receive the wisdom from there.
Yes, exactly. We all have such different bodies. And while, you know, raw food might work so well for someone, like it doesn't work for someone like me. Like I need cooked food. It just feels better. And yeah, it's such an individual experience. And so, yeah, I don't offer prescriptive ideas of what to do. It's really just flexing that muscle of listening and being with and feeling, like you said.
Mm, awesome. And what are some of the blocks that you, or like obstacles or challenges that you find your clients come up against when, or yourself that you come up against when you're working with listening to the body more?
Mm-hmm. We have evolved to have these epic, brilliant brains that are so good at thinking. They never stop. They never stop thinking. Unless you're like some meditation master, maybe for like a second, you'll stop
thinking.
Definitely not me. Yeah, me neither. But yeah, our brains are really good at thinking. And especially when we're nervous or anxious or stressed out, our brains are our favorite tool, or I don't know, favorite, but they're the kind of tool that we're most used to going to in times of crisis or worry. Mm-hmm. So if people have experienced trauma in their life, or if they struggle with anxiety or stress, it can be challenging to drop into the body, especially if the feelings in there are really uncomfortable or feel threatening. So it's easy to live sort of in the attic, you know, tucked away, retreated into the mind and, you know, dipping our toes into the pool of the body. If it feels unsafe, can be really challenging.
I can see that in quite a few people that they and like in myself when I was younger, like I was like, cool, how do I get into the body? I had no idea. And the mind is sometimes like it pretends that it's like working on it, but I don't know if it really is. It's like, all right, cool, well, we could try, you know, here, maybe we could write a list of different things we could try. It's totally something I would have done. So what do you recommend if it feels unsafe to begin to explore our body?
Yeah. What helped me a lot was having someone to support me and hold space, just so I knew that I had, like, it felt like someone was sitting in the boat while I would scuba dive, kind of feel, you know, like instead of just scuba diving alone. Mm. So that is so helpful, to have someone holding space. Another thing is just to really be gentle and slow with yourself. Like if you're feeling scared or uncomfortable as you go in, give yourself time, you know, and make sure that you're not pushing. So like, be really gentle, make it a practice of self-love and care, do it in the bath or do it in a place that just feels really, really safe. And honor yourself if you don't want to go somewhere. Like, I feel like also it's so easy in the spiritual world to be like a bit snobbish about like, oh, he's so unembodied, you know, or something like that. And like, it's okay to not be in your body. Like, that's okay. You know, it just means that you're on your own path in your own way, and it's a choice, and you don't have to be embodied. You can live a perfectly good life without being embodied. It's just, there are lots of gems and treasures in there, which can be exciting and great. But yeah, it's really an individual process that doesn't need to be rushed, and safety is key.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And for the people who are, you know, maybe they do some kind of dance or movement or connection to their body each day, and they've uncovered some of the wisdom in there, what would you suggest that they do if they want to deepen that relationship? How do you kind of continue to delve deeper into that wisdom within?
That's a beautiful question. Yeah. As a dancer myself, yeah. That's a great question. I find that there is this beautiful wisdom that comes through movement, through dancing, through shaking, through letting the body just kind of express itself how it wants. It can be so healing. And what I find to be always the most, I don't know if it's the most powerful, but an incredibly powerful tool without fail is listening. So whether that's listening while you're dancing, okay, like what's going on here? What am I feeling? What are the, if this feeling I have here had a voice, what would it say, you know, while you're dancing or while you're still, or while you're making love or like whatever it is, you know, in any experience or sitting on an airplane, like just listening, checking in with yourself and treating your body as if it's like a beloved child or pet, some kind of like wise, lovely, you know, things. It's like a creature with wisdom. So by listening to it, and really the other thing too, is like, you know, I remember when people would tell me, listen to my body, I was like, what are you talking about? by listening, I mean, similar to what we did earlier, where we like just, you know, noticed what needed attention and just kind of like listened. But like also not second guessing yourself. Like if you hear I'm scared coming from your belly, then chances are that's really true. You know, that's probably what you're experiencing. If you're listening to your body and you feel something weird in your heart and you close your eyes and place your hands there and you get the image of an explosion or, you know, something catastrophic, like listen, you know, listen, what does that mean to you? Like our body can kind of speak to us through sensation, but also in this dreamy sort of way where we can get visions or words or colors. And it doesn't always make sense to our mind. There is this space of interpretation and also really trusting and not doubting that what we're perceiving while we're tuning in and listening is real. And even if it doesn't make sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes my guidance is so strange. Definitely we need to just trust as we go along. How do you know the difference between your head talking and your body talking?
My breath. If I can't take a deep breath, then I'm in my head. And if my breath is soft and slow and deep, then I'm connected. But that is the most powerful marker for me of where I'm at. I also notice, like, if I'm darty, if there's like a frenetic energy that's kind of like moves quickly, that's a little bit more, that's a cue for me that I might be in my head. And also if I'm feeling anxious, if I'm feeling stressed or anxious about anything or worried, that's all head. It's all head, because the truth is worry is imagination. And stress, unless it's real, unless I'm walking down the street and something threatening happens, it's all conjecture. So, stress and anxiety and worry, they are clear indications that I am in my head and I'm not actually here perceiving what's real and trusting that if I am physically under threat, I can handle it.
Yeah. And one of the other ones that I've realized recently is that my head tries to convince me, and my intuitive wisdom won't do that. So wisdom is like one soft sentence, like subtle, but you just know and you can feel the power of it. And the mind is like, but what if you did it like this? Or what if you, like, but we could do it like, and it just constantly tries to convince me. And I feel like that's my ego and my, I used to think it was my ego and my wisdom like battling it out. But actually, I feel like that's all ego, and the wisdom like said her piece, and then it's just gonna sit and see what happens afterwards, you know? So that was really powerful for me to realize.
I love that. I love that so much. Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty powerful.
Wow. I'm getting like all these like dominoes of all the things in my life where I know that there's that like one liner my inner wisdom is saying, and my mind is like, but what about this and this and this?
Yeah. So it could be, for example, you get invited to some kind of opportunity and your body is like, no. And then your mind is like, but what if you say no? Could you end up not having this opportunity down the future? And like, oh, what if you did it like this? And so every time I've convinced myself into something like that, it's ended up being something that feels really like heavy and clunky. And not particularly guided. And I get lessons from it and it's perfect, but it's not where I feel like I'm my most lit up and inspired. Yeah. Mm. So that's been really cool to know. Awesome. All right. So if you could share one more thing before we finish up that would inspire people to trust and listen and come home to their innate wisdom within, what would it be?
All right. I believe that our bodies give us access to so much information, not only about like what feels good and what direction to walk in and who to talk to, but also psychic abilities in our ability to perceive beyond the 3D. And our ability to predict things or just get hunches. Like all of that comes from a space that isn't quite logical. And if you are curious, or if you have psychic abilities and you know you have them and you're curious about deepening them, or you've been attracted to tarot cards or something, but you know, you're not feeling quite confident about it, tuning into your body and really connecting with that space of feeling and the dreamy information that comes from it can give you a much more robust access to your heightened perception.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, because I believe we are all, we're all connected to the divine matrix. So of course we all have like psychic intuitive abilities. We just need to practice them. Like not all of us can speak Spanish, one of my mentors says, but if we worked on it hard enough, we would be able to. So it's the same thing. It's a skill that we have. We just haven't honed it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you said like something about walking one way or another. And I just want to share as well that one of the ways that I spend time with myself in my body and really allowing my intuitive wisdom to guide me is to go out somewhere without a plan and just watch where my feet take me. So without letting my mind choose in advance where I'm going to go, I just like turn left or turn right or sit there. And it's a really cool activity just to feel yourself be guided and to see. Yeah, like I can walk on the beach like that and I randomly stop at somewhere and look up and it looks phenomenal from there, or randomly walk past someone and talk to them and get, like last night I went for a walk and I walked past three pairs of people, and each one of them, it was like in Geelong, which is not exactly a spiritual hub, and each one of those people as they walked past were talking about something spiritual, like this perfect like little download for me at the time, like about compassion or love. It was so beautiful, and it's all there if we just listen to our bodies and let ourselves be guided. So yeah.
That's so yummy. I love that.
All right, Ali, we have to finish up, but I'm so excited because now we get to go over to our secret episode, because I cannot wait. It's been hard for me not to ask you questions like this already. I cannot wait to ask you about your own life and your own daily success rituals and habits and choices and perspectives that you use in your life to connect to your own wisdom and what you've learned from your wisdom to then implement into your life. So thank you for sticking around for the secret episode, which if you're listening and you haven't been to them before, it's at aninspiredlife.com.au/secret. And then you can come on over and find Ellie's face and listen to the behind the scenes of her life. Ellie, thank you so much for doing this podcast with me. If people want to find out more about you and maybe even do a beautiful session with you, I can imagine it feels so rested and guided and held. How would they come find you, my love?
Yes, so they can come to my website, which is alidryja.com, alidryja.com. And I also have a free ebook right now called The Emotional Eating Survival Guide, which is super yummy. So you can download that from my site. And then I have a online calendar on my website that you can book a discovery call with me if you'd like to have a free session.
Yay. Sounds beautiful. Thank you again so much, my love, for coming and talking with us and sharing your wisdom with us.
Thank you so much.
And thank you everyone for listening, because these kind of conversations are the ones that are going to change the world eventually. We're doing it, guys. So thank you for being a part of this conversation and this movement and this raising of consciousness. Just you doing it for yourself really does make a difference. And if you would like to share that difference and continue to exponentially grow that difference, I would be so honored if you would share this podcast. Being able to allow other people to find out about this sort of work really will speed up the process, and then we can all live in a world with embodied people who know where to go and which step to take. How amazing would that be? So please do share or go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. And if you would like to join Ali and I for the conversation after this podcast, you can head to the Lightworkers Rising Facebook group and find our faces, our lovely faces there, and tell us, what did you feel and experience and receive from your body while we did the guided meditation with Ali? I'd love to know what you received and how you're connecting with your intuitive wisdom as well. So thank you everyone so much. We're going to head over to the secret episode now. And for those of you who don't join us, I will see you next week. Bye for now.
Bye.
You have been listening to the An Inspired Life podcast with me, Kiara O'Leary. I'm so excited to be guiding you on your own journey of living your own version of an inspired life. Head over to aninspiredlife.com.au if you want access to more inspiring stories, tips, tools, frameworks, anything that I can possibly give you that will help you live a more fulfilling life. I've put on there, and so much of it is free. And there's also empowering life solutions from the Sacred Business Academy, taking it from an idea to your life's work in only 11 weeks. So I hope you can head on over to aninspiredlife.com.au and find something that will help you and guide you for where you're at right now. Thank you. My name's Kiara again, and I am so grateful to be guiding you on this journey. See you next time.